Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Chers auditeurs,
dear listeners,
bonjour.
Welcome in Comme d'Archie Podcast Season 3.
Saison 3 dans le monde fascinant des architectes.
And in the architectural projects.
Je suis Anne-Charlotte Depont, passionnée d'architecture et docteur des universités en histoire de l'archi.
I am one of the spokespersons of Anne-Charlotte, who is a PhD in architecture history.
Merci.
Thank you.
D'être avec moi aujourd'hui.
To be with us today.
Et
and
maintenant.
Now.
Lundi en français, place au talent.
And Wednesday, let's talk projects. In English, of course.
Bienvenue dans Comme d'Archie.
Dear listeners, good morning. This is Esther on behalf of Anne-Charlotte. It's good to meet you again in Season 3 of Comme d'Archie, Episode 59, with the journey and thoughts of Suzelle Baud, architect. A self-portrait, followed by her emblematic project of the Diderot residence in Paris. I grew up in a family of teachers for three generations, very literary, attached to secularism, the common good, discussion, and tolerance. I was rather good at math, with a rational side. In my family history, being an engineer did not seem very fulfilling. On the other hand, architecture seemed to be a kind of concretization of mathematics, a story of measurement, of numbers, but with something more. The star for my parents was Fernand Pouillon, a magnificent character, and what's more, he had written books. In short, it was a job that would suit me. I lived in the western suburbs of Paris, in Saint-Germain, and so I went to the nearest architecture school in Nanterre. It wasn't a revelation right away. I didn't really understand what was being asked of me. The only reference I was told about was the book Architecture Without an Architect. The projects were designed by inspiration. This led to making crazy buildings. I stopped after the second year. I went to Venice for a year, a non-modern city, a particular space of time, where I lived happily. My friends opened the door to architectural culture for me. I read, I visited cities, Rome, London, Amsterdam, Copenhagen, and the following year I was enrolled at UP8 Belleville in the third year. I really liked the time at school, in the Paris of Belleville. We worked a lot, all the time. It was the post-punk period. There was rock and architecture, it went together. That was exactly my life. After school, I had a rather classy career. I worked a bit in agencies where I didn't fit in. At the same time, with Laura Gadussi, we submitted entries to open international competitions and won prizes. We presented the albums of young architecture, we won a school project in Évry, and we got the prize for the first work. With three other agencies, we occupied a large space in a private mansion in the 9th arrondissement. It all happened very quickly, without any hindsight or strategy. And then there was a crisis in 1993-95, which broke everything up. We didn't complement each other, we split up. First project, first sight. The school project in Évry, in wood and raw concrete, was my first project and the condition of the profession. At one point, I realized that all the workers, site supervisors, and engineers were making, most of the time as well as possible, what we had designed. There is a feeling of both great pride and absolute recognition. The building site is a world in itself. A sort of ephemeral heterotopia with its rules, its codes, its multiple languages, its signs, its aesthetics. There is a stage where the building prefigures the future ruin, when just the structure appears. It's a moment I like because the building is still open to all possibilities. When you follow your building sites, you don't design in the same way. It should be compulsory for architects to follow the building sites, both for a better constructive quality of the buildings, for the overall economic interest of the client, and for a recognition of the technical culture of architects. It works together. way of doing things. We often start projects by evoking an ideal figure, an organizational archetype, not a formal figure. A bit like Kant said, what is a school, what is a student residence, etc. In this ideal figure, we distinguish between stable spaces, classrooms, rooms, offices, which are geometrically legible, and dynamic spaces, which are places of movement. We are very attached to the functioning of the projects. It is the contract we have with the client, and the functioning and the program are different notions. The operation is an organization, a pre-spatial system. It will define routes, hierarchies, and temporalities. Programs only take into account stable spaces, called useful services, but we work a lot on dynamic spaces, places of crossings and encounters, which link the stable spaces together and often give the project meaning. We rarely show a classroom or an office, but more often the path that leads to it. For example, for the digital school in Nanterre, the red staircases occupy the northern glass facade and show the activity of the campus. It is a place in movement that is also a void. The ideal figure is then put into a situation. The sensitive world, the climate, the wind, the lights, the landscape, but also the topography and the urban regulations are introduced to become a completely contextual project. But in memory, the ideal figure remains inscribed. A project. The Diderot Residence in Paris, a restructuring extension operation for residents for young workers, was the pivotal project for the agency. The original building had been placed abruptly in the 1970s inside the Eugène Napoléon Foundation, a self-contained estate built by Itoff. It housed a girls' hostel, no longer up to the standard and now unhabitable, with floors and 15-centimeter-wide dividing walls every 2.50 meters. It had to be heavily restructured. This led us to think about rational and tolerant configurations for the new buildings, which are more open to program changes. This implies working on the structure, the flow of fluids, and the technology. A building that responds exactly at the moment to its program and surface area is a building that quickly becomes obsolete. We won the Diderot competition on the idea of reusing such a building, not at all on the form, which was not very well developed at the time of the competition. The jury, with the RIVP, the project owner, chose a process and not an image. This is rather rare. A dialogue was established with the client and we proposed a metamorphosis of the existing building by incorporating it into a new geometry. It re-establishes the actual system of the foundation and breaches the surrounding wall by opening the garden onto the boulevard. For the extensions, we could not use the same design as the one that had caused the problem. We therefore used a metal structure with as few load-bearing elements as possible in order to guarantee future flexibility, but also to reduce the nuisance caused to neighbors by the construction site. Then the anodized aluminum envelope designed a single volume, existing plus extensions, without architectural registers. The exterior envelope does not necessarily follow the interior wall. Between the two there is a void, the common balconies on the garden. The material reflects the light and takes on the shades of the Parisian sky. Each project has its own story, and Diderot is a beautiful story shared with the RIVP and the companies. The project was nominated for the Moniteur's Silver Square, which also rewards the project owner. Most of our projects are located in dense urban environments and/or impacted by infrastructures, with more and more reuse of existing buildings due to the scarcity of land. In this context of urban non-expansion, design and construction are considered differently. The use of prefabrication and pre-dimensioning, the search for materiality rather than form, the disappearance of registers, premise subjects developed for the Diderot residence, characterize the agency's projects. The hotel above the tracks of the Montparnasse station, the intergenerational project of retirement home plus housing in the Clichy-Batignolles district, the Nanterre campus, the student residence in Évry, the restructuring of UFR 425 at the University of Orsay, which is currently underway. Dear listeners, thank you for tuning in. Let's meet again next week for a new Comme d'Archi in English. And until then, take care of yourselves. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. Thanks to Julien Robourg, sound engineer, who is collaborating with us today. Don't forget to tune in to our previews on Instagram at Comme d'Archi Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, don't hesitate to promote it by giving it 5 stars and a little comment on Apple Podcast or on your favorite podcast platform. And above all, subscribe to listen to all of our episodes for free. See you soon, and until then, take care of yourself.